Blog Talk Radio.
All right. You guys want to start the show?
Let's start the show.
Welcome to Saturday Morning Cereal, all you cerealites. I am Dan Grimshay, as always, and joining me is Sexy Jesus, Mark E.
Rock me, rock me, rock me, Sexy Jesus. Bop, shoo, bop.
That song is awesome.
It's catchy as hell.
I love it.
That,
so
for everybody listening, and I know, Mark E., I warned you this was coming.
Okay.
And you said, no, I don't know that movie. I don't know that song.
I thought it was...
And then you heard it, and you said, oh, yeah, I know this.
Yeah.
But you really don't.
No, I was way wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a song written for the movie Hamlet 2, which nobody saw. It's a damn shame, because it's a great movie. Steve Coogan, big British comedian. You might know him from Tropic Thunder.
Isn't he hosting one of the night shows now?
No, but he looks and sounds just like
he might
a
as
couple
well
of
be.
People who...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all taking but over.
He's one of... He's actually...
Immigrants.
He's actually really good. But the movie Hamlet 2 was filmed, about at least 10 years ago. It was filmed in... And this is the story I haven't told you yet, Marky.
I can't wait.
It was filmed in Albuquerque.
What? I'm from there.
Me too.
Okay.
It was filmed at my high school.
No way.
At West Mesa High School.
So
that, go ahead and put me and the school on blast.
That stage that we saw?
Yes, I showed that we got that audio from a clip where ostensibly it's the stage. I don't know. I don't have confirmation.
It's got to be the stage.
But apparently, and I do have a good friend who still works. We went to school together there, mm-hmm. and he's been a teacher there from...
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Years.
Yeah, yeah.
He was working there when they came in, and they... literally said, okay, we want to film a movie here. Do you mind? This is cash-strapped New Mexico we're talking about. They said, sure.
West Mesa
yeah.
High School,
and they
way.
Said, do you mind if we, you know what, we were looking for what was supposed to be kind of a crappy high school. Do you mind if we rebuild a lot of the facades to make them look slightly better?
Jesus.
This is a true story.
It's kind of pathetic.
And when they left, they were about to tear them down to let them have the old school back.
And they go, no. Said,
it's okay. We'll take care of this. You guys go on home to Hollywood.
It covered up all the graffiti.
Good luck. Sadly, and this is a great movie, by the way. This is a big plug for the movie, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Hamlet 2, look it up. It was by at least one or two of the writers from South Park back
yeah,
in the
Trey Parker
mid-90s. Not them.
Oh.
It wasn't from actually Trey Parker or
Matt Stone?
Yes.
You got lucking into
I
these.
Was really trying not to name some fish okay. singers.
All right.
But the movie itself really bombed. It's a shame. It's a great movie. Mm-hmm. Hamlet 2, great story about a high school drama teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got all the drama nerds.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads us to what I want to ask you about, Mark,
mm-hmm.
because I actually do have knowledge about this, and I hope you're honest. But we talk a lot about the geek things here on the show.
Almost exclusively.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And about how we're getting our due.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pop culture, now we have bended it to our will.
That's right.
Yeah.
Dark side.
But there were, because we were the nerds in high school,
mm-hmm.
we're coming up, but what about theater nerds? They were always a special subgroup. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh,
I know
absolutely.
you I know we have our own regional word for them, which is...
We actually used to call them pack rats.
That's right, and tell us why.
Well, pack as in P-A-C, which mm-hmm. means Performing Arts Center.
Yep.
So we were the pack rats. And a lot of... I think everyone that goes to high school needs to have this kind of experience where you're just a part of a group.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there. Every group, you know, they there's all kinds of groups.
I mean, it's the foundation for the community that we talk about on
and
the show. Yeah,
it's the people that you bond with, you have the inside stories with, the inside jokes with. Like, the real memories are with your groups. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's basketball, fine. Football, chess club, you know, choir.
Yeah.
Whatever.
The further you get out from high school, the less it matters
and
what it was.
Exactly. When you bond with those people, it means everything. And a lot of times, you know, it's the outcasts. And most of the time, everybody feels like they're the outcast. You know, like it's...
Yeah.
It's, you know...
Everybody has those
it's
moments.
It's us against them.
I think that's part of adolescence anyway.
Right,
just so happens they group us together in schools and we have to go through this. Thus, the cliques are born.
Exactly.
And there's just that perfect little kind of nerdy click. All right, just lay it out, Marky. You were in theater.
Yeah.
You were
I
a
was
pack
actually
rat
in
yourself.
Worse. I was musical theater. Yeah. There's video that exists of me dancing and singing. It's horrible. The idea that it's out there.
Yeah.
That's why I don't give my last name.
Yeah. And those of you listening, you have to remember, we're talking about back in the 90s. This is when Will and Grace was on the air.
Yeah.
Which I think is already...
Friends.
I think millennials consider Will and Grace like Amos and Andy.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean,
wow.
It's got that much
yeah.
heat. It's like,
you're right.
Wow, that
wow.
whole show is stereotypes.
You're right. You're right, it is. Yeah.
And so that's how much the culture has changed.
Since
I wonder if kids today... And this is, I think, evidence that maybe it has been... It's already started to be accepted. Because I know on this show you've never talked about being in theater.
Not specifically, but I think it actually informs pretty much everything that I do. Like that's how important that time of my life was.
Well, of course.
Yeah, you know, like there are lessons that my musical teacher would like tell me that I still kind of think about.
Mm.
You know, and a lot of it has to do with like projection and all that kind of stuff. But even when you're in the boardroom, you believe in yourself, Mark.
Stop with the graffiti and petty theft?
That's right. And come with us, boy, crazy boy. I was the ant. Yes, I was in West Side Story. I was
I was
a shark.
Of course you were a shark. You got to be a jet.
No, I'm not a jet.
Come on.
I know, it's
But
fun.
The truth is, we both have high school theater backgrounds.
Yeah.
We were theater geeks, all right?
Yeah, let's just say
word,
let's
pack
just say
rats.
But there were some great things about that that may be exclusive to some of the other cliques.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just go over a few.
All right.
All right. You get to wear funny clothes, so that's cool.
Yeah.
All right? And if you're kind of into it, even if you're a dude, you get to put on some makeup once in a while. All right? That's
yeah.
kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right? You know, even if it's, you know, think about it. All the cool rock stars had it.
If we're just checking boxes of the kind of freedoms
right?
you could get
you
at
could
high school, which was a big thing.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
You always want to explore what freedoms you have.
Yeah.
Theater does offer a lot.
You get to actually go on stage, which might be the most terrifying part of it, but you actually get to go on stage and sing and dance around and act like a fool.
I wasn't musical theater.
Yeah.
I want to remind you again. You silly
well,
shark.
But this is it, though.
But,
this
but
is it,
no,
though.
No,
no, no, this is
I
it. This
I
is
shouldn't
it.
Dig.
You're actually kind of touching on something that I think is important, and I didn't even realize that until I was doing a little research. I knew that we were going to be talking about musical theater, and I went onto the YouTube, and I just started watching just like random high school musicals, you know, just clips of other high schools doing stuff. I think they and us... At the time, all thought that we were doing great, like we were singing and that we were acting and that we were dancing right. You know, like there's like this confidence in their faces about what they're doing. Pretty much all of them.
Well,
and yet it looks horrible. It looks bad.
The pride and the quality don't quite equate, but I think that's the best part.
There's this youthful exuberance that is showing on stage of these high schools, you know, and it's obviously, it's like propelled by all the parents in the room. You know, it's all this positive energy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's positive reinforcement, which is kind of, I think, what...
What's the point?
Why they sold tickets for money for high school plays. That's got to be the only reason.
I think my best performance was probably as Earthquake Magoon in Little Abner. You guys have got to put some... Google that.
I'm pretty sure our listeners wouldn't have to Google that.
No one knows what Little Abner is
Earthquake
anymore.
Magoon and
Earthquake
Little Abner?
Magoon, yeah. He was the big doofus. He was the big ogre of, like, the neighborhood. One of my English teacher gave his review, and he said that I was as evil as an October sky, but sounded like a summer moon. He was really hippie.
He
actually wanted my Magoon shirt. If you can watch, like, the movie or any clip, usually the Magoon character has, like, a derby hat on, a jacket, and his T-shirt has Magoon on it. You know, like Mac and then Goon.
All right, man. All right? I'm seriously going to pause the podcast here just to ask you, seriously, did your English teacher ask for your shirt?
Yes, he wanted it after the performance.
What the f- are you talking about?
He was inspired. Or he just really wanted to look like Magoon.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's what it was. Oh, man.
He was a good guy. I don't remember his name, but he also did a lot of local...
See him, please call police.
No. He was a good guy. He did a lot of, like, stand-in acting. He was in Wyatt Earp. I remember that. He was in the Kevin Costner movie at Wyatt Earp. Yeah. I cannot remember his name. Good guy. He's probably dead by now. You got to say nice things.
Just in case. If he's still alive,
fuck him. You know,
whatever.
So what the hell are we talking about?
We were talking about theater.
Okay.
We did get off track. But
I actually would like to know, I've known you a long time.
You have.
Okay. The Performing Arts Center might mean something a little different to you.
Oh,
please elaborate.
I've got, Mark E. has asked a baited question, and for those who can't see him, which would be all of you, little gleam in his eye. Yes, this is something I was kind of hoping wouldn't come up, but hell, since we got time to kill and everybody's listening, why not?
Yeah.
Yes, I lost my virginity backstage during a rehearsal.
In the catwalk.
Not in the catwalk.
Oh, I thought you were in the catwalk.
I thought it was
hanging from the bars, like, oh, fucking badass.
That would have been nice. It didn't happen that way.
Okay.
No, my God, it would have been so hard. I would have fallen as soon as I started sobbing like a baby.
I'm sure. Thank you so much.
Yes, actually waiting for my cue and knowing there was a lot of pages and it was just rehearsal and it would take a while. I forget what magic phrase I used with my girlfriend at the time. And yep, in the alcove.
Oh, my God.
So, theater geek for life.
Good for you. That's the best.
Yeah.
Mine was in a car. I don't remember her name. It was horrible.
I remember all my car's names.
No, I know the car's name. I don't remember the girl's name.
Ah.
Well, her last name, I could say this. Probably. No, I shouldn't say it. I should say it. What the hell?
Well, it sounds like you know her full name.
No, I don't remember her first name, but her last name was Danzig.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, I swear to God. That's why I can remember it, because it was the name of the band. Her last name was Danzig.
No, it wasn't Danzig.
That's like a real last
name.
Really? Yeah. And she was from Canada.
Oh, wait a minute.
She was a model.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. She was a model.
You guys wouldn't know her.
Yeah.
She goes to school in Canada. Oh, see how easy it was for us to go right down memory lane, talking about high school memories there.
Yeah. Theater was our memory. I mean, that was it.
And theater's memory. I mean, geeks the whole time, But we do have a little theater geek in us.
We all, yeah, we're there, and we do for sure.
But that's something we I'm first the only reason we're doing a show about this is because you and I were talking about it. We're like, we always talk about the geeks, but we never talk about theater.
Yeah, and it's still.
And I knew important. That you were in theater, and you knew I was in theater, and yet you and I never talk about theater.
Nope.
When was the last time we went to see a play?
You and I have never seen a play.
20 years we've never seen a play together. I'm not challenging you. I'm agreeing.
I think you're right. I know you. All right, so
yeah, we live in.
You've been to Jersey
San Diego.
Boys.
Yes, I saw Jersey Boys before it ever went
to Broadway.
To Broadway,
yeah.
But only because this girl took me there,
yeah.
And it was a great experience. I was like, holy cow, that was really that should be on Broadway.
Yeah, and there it was,
and then off it went,
and now it's a Clint Eastwood movie.
Yeah, but we live no further away from the La Jolla Playhouse, a world famous originator of Broadway plays. I have a feeling, as we're speaking, they are either putting up a set, taking down a set,
yep.
or performing on a set.
Absolutely.
Something good right there. We've never done that. How many times have we been to Comic-Con together?
Oh, at least 8 times.
Does that mean we're ignoring our theater geek side? That's what we haven't been able to answer.
I think no.
Should we be ashamed? Is that the last one to come out?
What I think it highlights is that musical theater and like taking in a show still has its same place now as it ever did. It's something that is a special occasion. You do very, you know, rarely, and you enjoy the hell out of it every time you do. You know, every musical that I could think of over the last 10 years that I've seen, every time I walk out of there going, God, I have to do more theater. I never do. Because time and cost and just, you know, it's a production to get out there, you know. But I've
but
seen.
Why would it be different from like going to the movies?
Because
that's little
popcorn.
More time.
It's nothing. You can
but
see
it's
it anywhere.
Basically the same idea.
It's not. There's something about going.
I mean,
to
just
a show.
As far as like leaving your house, going to enjoy some entertainment, and then you know eventually coming back home. It's the same thing that you would do. Going for a long meal at a restaurant or going to the movies.
I think.
Why don't we do that more?
Well, because when you go see a musical or a play, something live,
yeah.
you're in a certain. In certain ways, you are a part of the production. Your energy, your air.
I think
you know,
you're onto
like,
it there.
You know,
I
so
think, yeah.
it's an event for you. It's a taxing thing. It's a,
yeah.
you know, you're
it takes from you
to do it.
You are active as an audience,
mm-hmm.
even if you just sit there in like a dramatic play, but you see these actors doing these emotions that usually are on a 50-foot screen in a movie. It is different to be in the room with them.
It's amazing.
Theater
it's like a
is
magic
totally
show.
Different, but it can never get bigger or really different. You can have more spectacle, but
it always comes down
and
to the people.
It's always about being in the room
exactly.
with them. So this is something that can never get bigger.
The bigger it gets, you know, the worse it is.
And they tried to break it, I guess, with Spider-Man and killed dozens of people.
It's like two. Was it dozens? Two,
mm-hmm.
maybe. But
yep.
even still, two is a lot. But, you know,
two is more than you want from your average Broadway production. So
two is all the
so
people that John Landis killed.
Theater has a certain line, so it can't expand anymore. It can't be like Hollywood making 3D movies, CG, blowing up cities. So it is always going to be a certain corralled area.
As a matter of fact, the bigger it gets, the worse it gets. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, because you're just further away from the energy, further away
yeah.
from the center. You're less of a participant at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also like, if you're like, one of the plays that I've seen in the last 10 years is Wicked. And Wicked is Wicked. Wicked is amazing. You're like a part of the audience. You can smell the smoke. You can see them. You can, you know, smell is involved all of a sudden, you know. And then they'll do some like special effect on the stage. Now, if that special effect was in Disney's The Wizard in film, it would suck. It's the worst effect you've ever seen, right? It's horrible.
It would draw you out.
Yes.
Of the actual viewing experience.
Exactly. But you see something like that on stage, and when you see the creativity and even the special effect is a performance in itself. You know, I was in a production of Don Quixote.
And, Don Quixote.
Yeah. And
with Jens in there.
Some, like, two people actually played the windmill, you know. They were acting as the windmill. So, you know, the props and the sets, it all has this kind of human element to it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's performances everywhere. It's wonderful. It's a big thing. And we every time we do it, we love it. But we don't do it often. And that's what makes it so special.
See? And because there's a point where you can't do it that often. Yeah. It's and then the big question is, does that make it just by the fact that it still exists, does that make it pretentious? Does that make it seem like, well, you can do 3D movies where they can show you anything?
There is something about...
You can stay at home, you can read a book, you can do anything else, but watching a bunch of people put on some makeup and act like other people for a couple hours.
But that's what you're doing with TV and
somehow,
movies.
But the, you know, the fact that you don't have the budget, the razzle-dazzle... Although it's the highest possible definition, it's not HD.
It is better
you
than
you know what I mean?
It's real.
It's, yeah.
It's better than 3D. Cause it's
well,
like, and that's really what I think I appreciate most about my high school experience is that I have an appreciation for these performances and for these events. And every time I get to go, I'm the luckiest guy in the room, the bird that ate the canary. You know what I mean? You know, I know in a way, no matter how poorly we probably were, I know in a way how much those people worked, how much they practiced. I know that they're having a great time back there, you know, most of the time.
Nope.
You know, I know that there's people back there that are fondling each other, falling in love with each other, that are breaking up with each other. It's got its own drama back there. There's a whole life back there. And,
that's right.
I think that's really sweet, you know.
And you feel that when you're in the audience for theater, because when you sit and watch a movie, they have 20,000 names in the credits. You know a few of them hooked up. You know there were some nice storylines, some nice drama follow-through.
I'm sure.
And we'll never know, but we never think about that.
It's The Office everywhere.
But when you're there in the room with them, when there's nothing but separating us from the performance but a ledge, and nothing separating the performance from the backstage but a curtain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once you've been a theater geek, you know something's going on
there. That's right.
You know what it is? Enough of this, because we actually had a chance to talk to an actual Broadway star. Turns out, unfortunately, for our little narrative, she wasn't a big theater geek. But she is a big theater star.
Mm-hmm.
Chantel Riley, who plays Nala on Broadway, that's Broadway mofos, in The Lion King, Disney's The Lion King.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also
going to be appearing alongside an all-star cast in Race.
The Jesse Owens story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this movie looks good.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those big ones.
Yeah,
it's February 19th it's coming out, so check your calendars. That might be real soon,
well,
depending on your time zone.
February 19th is always on the same day. You don't got to check your calendars on February 19th.
Let's all synchronize our calendars. Star of stage and very soon star of screen, Chantel Riley, Magic Interview Machine. Take us there. I am talking with Chantel Riley, a bona fide Broadway star who, I'm guessing a little later today, you have a commitment on stage.
I sure do.
That is, and I think commitment must be a big buzzword for people on Broadway or people in theater in general. I mean, you commit to these shows.
Yes, we do 8 shows a week, sometimes 9.
I am lucky if I have 8 or 9 meals a week. and by the way, why don't you tell everybody which show this is we're talking about?
My name is Chantel. I play Nala on Broadway in The Lion King.
The Lion King, a little one I think a lot of even our listeners have heard of. That is so awesome. And also, you're in the new upcoming Jesse Owens biopic, Race.
Yes,
which I do want to cover a lot more later, but first, this is a rare opportunity for me, so I've got to pick your brain as a theater nerd. I hope you don't
mind. Okay, no problem.
Well, see, here on the show, we talk a lot about kind of our worldview is that of the nerds, the comic book nerds, the Dungeons mm-hmm. and Dragon nerds. We're all kind of having our comeuppance now in popular culture.
Right.
And here on the show, a lot of us, though we gleefully talk about how often we go to Comic-Con and we love superheroes before they had movies, we also, almost all of us here on the show, have high school theater backgrounds that we don't really discuss much.
Are you ashamed?
Well, see, that's what that's kind of been our internal conversation when we where we're talking about my opportunity to speak with you today. We said, should we bring it up? I mean, I think we should. And then it got us thinking, is that kind of, since this has just been a big cultural revenge of the nerds the last 10, 15 years, is this the last little nerd click to finally get their due?
I think so. I think it's time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are, I know you're from Canada, and I don't hold that against you, but I'm wondering
<Thank you. laughs>
if it was the same kind of culture back then. Were you in theater in high school? Were you guys kind of your own little group, et cetera?
No, I actually didn't get into theater until doing The Lion King. I didn't really know much about it. I didn't know much about musical theater or Broadway at that. I just knew I liked singing in my church and just became a part of our little drama team at church, but didn't really do much musical theater, yeah. So, but that's pretty much where I got most of my experience before actually getting The Lion King. I would just do little plays and stuff at my home church.
Okay, so let me see if I understand this right then.
Mm-hmm.
You got a little experience singing in church and doing some plays, some short skits, I imagine. And
mm-hmm.
then from there, you learned about Broadway by doing Nala in The Lion King.
Yeah.
That's kind of a leapfrog. I mean, I know you originally got hired to the German cast, but that's really not that. It's not exactly a knock on your skills.
No, absolutely not. A friend of mine told me about an open casting call, and I was working there for about a year and a half until I got told that I was going to Germany to perform with Nala over there.
You make it sound kind of like the Army. You signed up and they told you, well, now you're going to Germany.
I was drafted. Exactly.
And I understand you don't exactly speak German.
No, I didn't know anything. I didn't know any German at all. So I had to learn the script phonetically. And as I spent more time in the city, I picked up some words here and there, and I could kind of communicate. Don't know much of it now because it's been a while. But, I definitely did not know any German before going to the show.
Wow. Now, that's some bravery, because it sounds like you just sort of said one day, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to audition for a Broadway play. And then you got drafted and assigned to Germany. Despite not knowing any German, what was it like when you were called to come join the Broadway cast then? How did that feel?
It was kind of unreal, actually. Like, I was like, sure, I guess. I mean, are they sure? but knowing and realizing how huge it was, and again, I was still getting to know what the whole musical theater thing was, how big of a deal Broadway was, I was like, wow. I was definitely shocked and wasn't expecting it to happen at all. I thought I was just going to finish Germany and just go back home and figure out something.
What is that like then, I guess, to finish a run? I mean, the show is still going on. It was going on before you went to Germany.
Yeah.
It is, as far as I understand, still going on
now. It is.
So is it like a set number of years, like a tour of duty that they assign you to?
Well, each principal cast has like a contract that's like year by year.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got to Germany, they were celebrating their 10-year anniversary and decided after my 1 year run that I wanted to just end my contract there and go home and try to do some work back from where I'm from. And it wasn't like, oh, you have to be here for so long. And they kind of give you that choice, you know, whether or not they want to keep you or if you wanted to stay.
Well, and then
same thing for Broadway as well.
So what was your where was your mindset when you got the Broadway offer? Were you thinking, all right, I've done my year in Germany, now I'm going to head back home, and then all out of the blue, the opportunity came up?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, that's what it was. It was, okay, I'm going to go home, and then I got the call, hey, we want you to fly out to London to audition for Julie Taymor. Would you mind coming and checking it out? And I said, I mean, of course, I'm not going to just completely shut out Germany. I mean, shut up Disney and The Lion King. And you never know what kind of opportunity to come after it. So I said, why not get a trip to London for 3 days? And I did the audition for Julie. And from then, I wasn't expecting to hear so quickly. But it was a couple weeks later that they offered me the position on Broadway.
Well,
it was a shock.
Well, belated congratulations.
Thank you.
But now,
yeah, I definitely didn't think I was going to get right back into it as soon as I did, but that's how quick it happened.
And then you basically got off the plane at JFK, walked down to Times Square, put on the outfit, and it's been 8 shows a week ever since?
Right. So after that audition, I didn't start until, like, I think it was like 2 or 3 months. After that audition, because they had to do the transition, and the person before me had to finish out her contract. And then it was pretty much, I had a nice little 3 months off, spend time with my family, and then I moved to New York. And I've been here for 3 years.
Oh, man. Any end in sight? Are you thinking about going back to Germany yet?
I would go back to Germany to visit my friends.
What a diplomatic answer.
Right now, I'm just focusing on continuing my run here and doing some more film and television as well.
All right. Well, that brings me to my next point, because as I mentioned, mm-hmm. you're in the movie Race coming up, which, and I get the subtext. That was pretty good. I see what you did there. But if you're doing 8 or 9 shows a week, how on earth do you film a movie?
Well, what's really great here is with Disney is they allow us as artists to do other things, and they give us the time off if they're able to give it to us. If not too many people are off already to go and do other things, which is great because we have a lot of dancers and a lot of amazing performers in the show that do stuff outside of Lion King. We have choreographers that are putting on, you know, different shows, so like Broadway Cares, and they're doing concerts, you know, their own little mini concerts and stuff, which is great. So it gives us the time to really be free as artists to explore and to do other things and to be creative, you know?
Well, that's good, because I think, you know, I mean, it's not that it isn't one heck of an accomplishment to be on Broadway 8, 9 mm-hmm. times a week. In The Lion King, no less, which is one of the big boys. It's one of the heavy hitters.
Yeah.
But to be able to then still be able to, you know, spread your wings and you know, start doing some movie and TV. So what other movies and TV can we see you in if we can't make it to New York anytime soon?
Well, as you said, Race is coming out February 19th. That's actually my first feature film, my first major film.
Woo!
First one. It's a big one, so I'm so honored to be a part of this film, and it's coming at such a great time. And of course, during Black History Month is great. Other than that, I've been working on some short films with a friend of mine. His name is James Brown Orleans. He's also in Lion King. He plays Bonzai, one of the hyenas, and he's a director, writer, producer, actor, and so we do a lot of collaborations together and doing some short films. And one that we finished is called Teacher's Nightmare, and he's right now submitting them to a bunch of different film festivals, and we received one award for Best Drama Short from the Wendy's International Film Festival.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
That's a pretty good start.
Yeah, I think so too, and it tells a great story. So during the show, we get together during intermission pretty much and say, okay, I have an idea for our next short, so let's do this. And we just brainstorm within our 15-minute break and head back to the stage.
Who does that?
Yeah. Crazy people. Crazy people with minds that don't rest. That's
serious. it's got to be. That work ethic really impresses me. My hat is off to you, but I will never follow your lead.
Yeah, we're pretty crazy over here. It's a good crazy, though.
Well, so does this kind of signal the idea that you want to break off? You've had nothing but great things to say about Disney and The Lion King, but it sounds like you kind of want to prefer to break off and do your own thing.
Well, you know what? I'm so grateful for Disney. And, I mean, they started this up for me, and I never would have experienced anything like this, I don't think, had I been given the chance to play Nala, you know, when they first accepted me in Germany. And so I feel like they are the ones that awoke something in me that I never knew was there. And I will forever be grateful to Disney and Lion King, of course. But they are, like I said, very open to letting us spread our wings and to try new things. And I feel like I've had such a great relationship with them. And I obviously, whenever the time is to come for me to leave the show, I will be seeing them again. You know what I mean? We're like a family. And I'm so excited to see what's to come next, whether it be another Disney show or, you know, a Broadway play or some more film and TV. But Disney's where I started, so it's always going to be home for me.
Oh, that's great to hear that sentiment. And mm-hmm. And I think I can attest to that because, you know, Disney has never, ever given me any role in anything. And I'm pretty disappointed with my life. So I can see why you were able to turn that into gold. Good work. All right. Well, you know, and it is refreshing, actually, to hear people say nice things about Disney because they're always the elephant in the room. And they take a lot of punches, but they produce a lot of stuff that I think is worthwhile. And yeah. I'll leave the moral judgments to documentary makers later on in the future.
Oh, wow.
that came out harsher than I wanted it to.
Yeah, this is bad.
No, they gave us Little Mermaid, everybody. It's not so bad. Lion King, if you're in Broadway, Lion King, you can't miss it.
The classics.
That's right. All right, so thank you so much for speaking with us, too, Chantel. I wish you were more of a drama nerd, because now I still don't feel kind of ready to talk about it.
Uh-oh.
You know what? It might just be going back into the secret files. Although I guess at this point you've been on theater. You've been in theater. You say you're still kind of learning it, but you've been doing it for a few years now.
Yeah.
Surely you know something about the theater culture, and it is different from, you know, the music industry, the film industry, the TV industry. There is something, you know, not pretentious, but it is smaller yet greater than. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was so good to be a part of that when I was younger.
Yeah. I mean, theater is always going to be where people want to come back to. And that's why I'm so glad I got to start here rather than starting on screen first, because there's so much that I learned by being on stage, you know, good stuff and bad stuff. You know what I mean? What to do and what not to do. And whenever I listen to, like, some huge actors like Samuel Jackson and, you know, Kate Blanchett and all these people, they always talk about how they started in theater and how important it was for them to be on stage and how much they loved coming back to the stage even. You know, we learn. There's hard things in theater just as much as there's hard things in music and film and television as well.
Yep, yep. I think, you know, even if I didn't go any further than, you know, a couple years in college with theater, Shit, I just admitted it was in college, too. Anyway, even if that's as far as it went, if nothing else, it taught me one of the most important things in life, and that is to project.
Yes.
And you can take that on lots of levels, and I like to leave it at that. Well, all right. Thank you so much for talking to us, Chantel. Good luck tonight. I hope we didn't use up too much of your voice.
Oh, no, you're fine. You're fine. Thank you. Oh, yeah, if you guys don't mind following me on my social media, I got Instagram and Twitter. You can follow me at Chantel_Riley. And my Facebook is Facebook.com/CCamilleRiley.
There you go. You know, I was able to find her Facebook, no problem, and I didn't know any of that. So I know you can do it at home. All right, we'll see you on stage or more likely social media and then the big screen. Thank you so much. Chantel Riley, everybody.
Take care.
Follow my nose. A morning ride would be.
Wow, look, he's moved.
On the sports booth.
Lemon is scary.
Wow.
Lemon is scary.
Fruit Loops.
Kellogg's Fruit Loops cereal, a fruitful part of this complete breakfast. Disney's The Lion King 2, Simba's Pride, is now available only on video. And you can share in the adventure with Kellogg's Fruit Loops cereal and one of four pop-up collector cards. It's your favorite characters from the video, free inside specially marked boxes of Kellogg's Fruit Loops cereal.
Lion King 2, Simba's Pride, everybody. It's not exactly the show that Chantel Riley is in, but still. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going to get a cereal commercial that has something to do with the Lion King,
that's about all you're going to find.
That's good. Good work on you if you actually do better. So stuff it.
You're right.
Yeah.
It's incredibly difficult to find any Broadway musical branded cereal.
isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Because I think everything on this show, we obviously, everything else that we liked and participated in.
Right. We glorify.
Kids, I mean, I played soccer for 4 years. Yeah. I ate the hell out of kicks.
Yeah, you're right.
There was a special synergy in all that. Uh-huh. Theater, though, was always a little bit different, and maybe that's why we sort of still compartmentalize it.
I think so. It seems to have eluded the popular culture, like the mainstream popular culture. Now, it produces all of our people. It produces all these incredible, you know, talents. Chantel's one of them, you know, but there's great stuff out there.
Now, Chantel Riley, who, she's not in the cartoon. I don't know if you remember that from...
Nope, not in the cartoon. She's way too young to be in the cartoon. Yeah.
She wasn't alive when the cartoons
she
probably came
out. She might have been
out.
Alive.
Yeah, she might have. Yeah. She might have been, but that was the lovely Chantel Riley who plays Nala
on
Broadway.
Lovely doesn't cover it. She's stunning.
You
she's
are
incredible.
Right.
She's
I don't
talented.
Want to get creepy, but
she's
wow.
She's crazy. She's, I mean, everyone's got to check her out. She's on Twitter, at Chantel_Riley, I believe, is her Twitter feed. But, she's just something else. I think she's going to take over the world.
Yeah.
Watch out.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. We even watched, just for preparation's sake, mind you, we checked out a few YouTube videos.
Of her singing?
Of her singing in front of an audience.
She covers Adele.
With her partner, she mentioned.
She covers Bob Marley.
She's really good.
Yeah. Just amazing.
We didn't look very hard, but we did not see any clips of her actually performing on stage in Broadway.
Yeah.
And I think there's a reason for that.
The big Disney
theater
Lion
is still,
King,
you know,
license.
Theater, even though we talk about it like it's so different from what the rest of the entertainment is, because it really is a little bit different, I think. I mean, that's a big deal. They do it 8 times a day. And you think your ticket to a late night movie is expensive.
Yeah.
You go to see her perform on Broadway, it's like $150
or
something, right?
That's a crappy
right?
seat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what you get as a tourist walking in last minute kind of thing.
You're right.
So,
but it's still happening, which means people are still buying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what maybe I should just say it like this. Supply is very limited, keeps demand up.
Yeah.
So theater viably can just keep going on.
Well,
and this
supply
is, and this
doesn't
is,
keep the demand up. Supply and demand, where they cross, is what dictates what the price is.
But there is a finite supply.
You're
of
right.
theater.
And it's hard to do, mm-hmm. as we have grown an appreciation for, even how badly we did when we were in high school. Yeah. And I swear,
adds to
everybody right now, everyone right now listening is going, we were pretty good. No, you were not good.
You weren't.
You were
we
horrible.
Weren't.
None of us were good in musical theater in high
if
school.
If you had 50
There's
lines
a couple
in high school,
you.
You had one or two good lines, and that just impressed. Just like a puppy who barks on command. That's basically how good we were.
Like,
but we had the passion.
Now, some
and
of
it
you,
was the funnest.
And also, yes, some of you had talent, and some of you are very good, and some of you grew up to be in Broadway. But what I'm saying is high school musicals are horrible,
mm-hmm.
even the one that you were in.
And
it doesn't matter because it was so much fun. It was so amazing.
That just makes me more and more angry that Chantel Riley didn't actually
I know.
Do
what
it.
What a
in
trip,
her.
Right?
She didn't get that thrill on a high school stage. She got it on a Broadway stage. Wow.
It's amazing. And she's apparently doing it really well because she... You know, she was good. She started in Germany, right?
Yeah.
On that.
She auditioned
production.
For it, and then she said, "I don't know if they used the words, but they said you're close. Why don't you go to Germany?
Yeah,
for a while."
And she worked. She worked it out there.
Purposely did that just to keep an eye on her,
uh-huh.
see her progress, and
brought her back.
And now she's working every night. You know, any chance she has when she's not talking to me, mm-hmm. she tends to be, well. Performing on Broadway.
Yeah.
So there you go. There is still theater, and I don't know why we kind of felt like maybe it was something we should be ashamed of or why we didn't talk about it more. I don't plan to talk about it anymore, but I figured this episode was enough to bring it out.
I think I know why, though.
There's a reason behind everything, right?
I think I know why we don't talk about it.
What?
It's because... You formed those memories and bonds with specific people. Mm. Like it's a series of inside jokes and inside stories. And because you know it's bad, no one else is going to care, right? Mm. The only people that care about this are the people that you were, you know, with at
like
that
time. Like a safety performing bubble.
It is, you know. We had so much fun doing it. It didn't really matter if it was good or not. You know, what you were forming in your mind at that young age are these experiences. And again,
so like high school theater is like a giant trust exercise. I love it.
Yeah. Well, it's like a bunch of those, what are those water monkeys? You just pour the flakes inside the water and you see them all, sea monkeys, and you see them all dancing around. Eventually.
Water monkeys.
Sorry. They always died anyway. But
well, you were calling them the wrong thing. But yeah, go on.
Well, no, man. Like that's where all this stuff was happening, man. Mm-hmm. It was just like, you know, add this to water and watch life happen, and that's what the musical experience was, or the theater experience
the
in high school
theater
thing
where
yeah.
you could all sort of be bad together. But if you try hard, everybody feels that stress. I get that.
That's what it was,
and maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. It's about forming a team, man. It's about being a part of a group. It's about having responsibility.
Sounds
about
a whole
all
lot
things.
Like what we're always talking about, the Comic-Con culture. That's kind of what we do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're right.
That's what we're about.
We all just we find these little pockets of solace and, you know, support, no matter how weird it is that we're into this thing, no matter by how much, you know. And people know me well enough that they know how into Star Wars I am.
Yeah.
You know? And so when they're at some store or whatever and they'll see something of Star Wars and I just get text that, right? Hey, check this out. I saw this over here. I thought of you. You know what I mean? These are people participating.
That's our culture,
baby. Yeah.
That's
interest.
That's the serialite culture.
Yeah.
That's what we're promoting. We're not a cult.
Nope.
And if someone from the FBI has told you different, you don't listen to them. All right, so I think that's why we had to bring it up.
Come
on. All right, so that's where theater falls in the umbrella, and that's why I keep talking about it like it's a different subject. We are both theater geeks. We're both comic book geeks. We're both superhero geeks.
Sci-fi
nerds. So you know what? Big umbrella. Everybody's welcome. And even inside the umbrella, we don't have to be afraid to talk about theater. It's awesome.
I also played Axis and Allies a lot. Just come out and say that.
Well, there should be a line somewhere. But anyway, as you faithful listeners will know, here is the time of the show before we wind it all down where we do our new segment, What You've Been Watching.
I should ask you first what you've been watching.
You want to ask what I've been watching?
Yeah, I want to know.
All right, fair enough.
What you been watching?
Well, since you asked, Marky, what I've been watching this week was Mad Dogs.
I never heard of
Amazon.
I never heard of this.
A lot of people haven't, and who knows, a lot of people might not, but I'm trying to help get the word out.
Okay.
Because it's good, you say? It's okay.
All right.
Quite honestly.
With this, tacit endorsement, tell us more about this movie.
It's about, they got 10 one-hour episodes that just dropped on Amazon.
That is,
it's
wait a minute,
one of those
that's
Amazon
about 10
Prime.
Hours.
If you got Amazon Prime and 10 hours, you can just sit down and watch this thing.
Oh, my God. This sounds horrible.
Oh,
but
I know.
Keep going.
I don't blame you. Let's fight through.
All right. So what's this movie called again?
Anyway, it's called Mad Dogs. It's right, based on a British show that was like 4 episodes long.
Okay.
Anyway, this was when Amazon likes to put out their pilots for the general public to vote on.
Mm-hmm.
And then a year or so later, suddenly they'll just drop one of those series on you. This is one of them. Some have been great, some not so much. This one's, I'd say, right in the middle. If you got the time, like I said, you can watch it. But basically, it's about 4...
Who's in it?
...middle-aged men who... And it's a great cast. I'm glad you asked. We got Steve Zahn.
Steve Zahn, all right.
You got Michael Imperioli, Spider himself.
It's Christopher Sopranos.
Yep. Yeah. You got Ramone Malco, I think, is the guy's name who... And the name's not going to ring a bell, but he's a guy from Weeds. He's a guy from...
yeah, I know.
40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yep.
He's the one black friend in 40-Year-Old
The bald
Virgin.
Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see color, but I know he's bald.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see hair.
I see hair, and I know when it's not there. You're talking about the bald guy.
Hey, I'm not going to be PC here, all right? The guy's bald. Let's say it.
So, yeah, it's actually a great cast. They everybody does a pretty good job in their role. The thing just... You can't decide if it's going to be like some kind of crazy Twin Peaks thing or if it's going to be like City Slickers with like middle-aged man revelations.
Those are two things that have nothing to do with each other.
Exactly. And they mash them up a lot and they kind of work sometimes. Like I said, if you got the time, check it out. I give it 7 out of 10 stars.
That's a good review, 7 out of 10. Maybe you need to rework your classifications here.
No, it's still good enough. It's just that I was, when you commit to 10 hours, you're like, man, this better be like all 3 Godfathers plus 60 minutes.
But it's not like they made you finish it, so, but you still.
Which is the thing. It was good enough. I couldn't not.
So it was a lot like.
There are streaming shows I give up on.
It was a lot like that second season of House of Cards. Is that what you're telling me?
Second season is a lot like the third season of House of Cards.
Oh, yeah, you're right. The third season, that's what
I
meant.
The most recent one.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yes. That I watched mostly as courtesy to the first 2 seasons.
I know. Okay, I owed it
to
them.
So this one, I was like, all right, I am going to watch it because that was a decent cliffhanger, but I'm starting to be more annoyed than entertained by these characters. I don't want to get too deep into it. That's where I stand. Like I said, you got the time. Watch it. If you haven't seen Breaking Bad yet, fucking watch that first. Anyway, Marky, what you been watching this week?
Oh, man. Every once in a while, not every once in a while, I get bombarded with press releases and check out this new show and here's a link to a screener. And I really, really try to watch it all. I really do.
I
mean,
tough.
I at least try to start
I
it, you know. You know, I at least got to start it and kind of give it a chance. But everything that's been on this show has been personally vetted by me.
No.
You know, it's got my thumbs up. And I don't put stuff up here I don't like.
Yeah.
Because we're not here to bash stuff. You know, we're here to celebrate.
Celebrate.
Peace. Power to the people. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what happens here is that every once in a while I get turned on to something really, really good. And right now on True TV, there's this little show. It's going to premiere February 11th.
I know it, yeah. Yes.
And I made you watch them all.
I should have known this is what you'd say. No, it's good. It's good.
You're
talking about Those Who Can't.
Those Who Can't, which is a show about teachers.
And this is special. This is Insider because there's no way any of you, well, there's no way most of you could have been watching that this week because you got a special screener.
I got
to
some
it.
Screener links, right? And mm-hmm. now, but what I did here, which you guys are all going to find out here pretty soon, is that I asked my partner here in crime to interview the guys who created this.
That's
without
true.
Having
That's
seen
true.
The show.
Those two guys, I didn't realize there were screeners involved.
Well, I know.
I thought we were all just as a collective public just waiting for February 11th. So I was like, we'll talk about the show when we can see it.
But
I'm very sorry.
But
to all the boys and involved, Adam, Kate, and Holland, Ben Roy, Andrew Overdahl, my apologies.
There's no need to apologize because the reason why they're on the show is because their co-star happens to be one of the girls of Hollywood that I find the most adorable. Maria Thayer.
One of our first guests.
As soon as I saw her.
I still love Maria Thayer.
I know. And as soon as I saw her on the cast, I instantly gave this show a chance.
Yep.
And I really enjoyed it. She's got a
prominent role in it, too.
She's one of the stars of the show. I love the character. I love her position in this. It's fantastic. And for those of you that have yet to see this, this is what you have to look forward to. It's, you know, we always talk about how, you know, we like to celebrate the themes that we grew up with, but mm-hmm. that grew with us.
Yeah.
And something is happening here. Like, all of a sudden, that high school show, you know, in some ways, The Cosby Show was one. Wonder Years was a high school show.
Yeah.
Saved by the Bell was a high school show. You know,
yeah.
90210,
yeah.
and so on and so on and so on. This one,
but I think I'm picking up on a theme in all these. Those shows were all shown from the perspective of the students.
Exactly.
That's the ones we our generation were supposed to sympathize
exactly.
with.
Exactly. But now we are now the age of the teachers.
That's right.
So it's a show about a high school, but from the teacher's perspective. Mm-hmm. And guess what? They're
the worst.
They're the worst. They are backstabbing each other. They are trying to sleep with each other. They are messing with the kids. They are, like, this is a great way, a great angle at what is a traditional and to us, we outgrow the high school show, right?
Yeah.
We've outgrown it.
Yeah.
But now we get
to see
it. I
don't need to watch anymore. It's for kids.
It's weird. Yeah, it's weird.
This is still for us, but now they've just graduated to teaching.
Yep.
Pun intended. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but they work at a school instead of a bar. Basically, they are that immature. They are that irresponsible. They are, I mean, and it's great. It's one of those that could be any level of decency because it's broad enough. Say, okay, it's a show about a bunch of teachers,
right?
But the writing is so good in it, and they have such a great cast.
Yeah. And I actually, my whole...
Maria Thayer aside, they have, you know, Kyle Kinane.
Right. And so on and so on. I mean, in my mad genius here, what I was doing was I wanted you to talk to these guys.
Mm.
Let us get to know them a little bit. I wanted to know what these guys were like.
Yeah.
So I didn't want you just talking about the show with them. You know what I mean?
You thought
like, I wanted
get caught up in the fangirl.
Exactly. I don't want you to be all twinkle toes here.
Thanks for bailing me out.
Okay?
Yeah, I appreciate that.
This is a funny show. But I wanted to get to know them a little bit. And thanks to your great interviewing skills.
Yes.
We actually have for you.
The trick is to remain clueless.
You're right.
Go in like a blank slate.
But
empty breeze.
These guys turned out to be great, and I would love to present this interview to our
audience. Let's take a quick second. Let's talk to Adam, Kate, and Holland, Ben Roy, Andrew Overdahl, collectively on stage known as Grolix, individually known as, well, you just heard me say it, and on television known as Those Who Can't, Take it away, Magic Surprise Interview Machine.
Meanwhile,
I am speaking to Grolix here, right?
Yep. This is Andrew. This is Ben. This is Adam. But we can preface our answers with our names, so we probably sound alike.
That was still very impressive. I see you guys have a lot of experience doing a sound off.
For sure.
So I know we're here to talk about Those Who Can't, the new show you guys are doing. And by show, I mean something on TV, something you can buy and watch on your laptop if you want. But you guys have a long history with actual stand-up improv, and you know, you're performers.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I don't know so much about improv, but definitely stand-up is a big part of our background.
Yeah, it's where we all, this is Andrew, that's where we all met and got our start. We did stand-up for over a decade before we got into the writing of show idea stuff.
Oh, well, I've actually seen some of your stand-up, and you're telling me you write it beforehand?
Hard to believe. I know.
Ooh. Little zinger. I actually had that one written down, believe it or not.
You got to come prepared. I get it.
So the nutshell story is three guys, long history in stand-up comedy, and you guys all do your own separate stand-up acts, right? You're not a comedy team on stage in that sense, right?
Right. This is Adam. We all do our own stand-up, and we all tour individually, but we also perform at the Grolix, which is just kind of a three-man thing. But at a Grolix show, we do our three-man act up front, and then it's just straight stand-up after that.
All right. So what are the subtle differences between a three-man act and then when one guy gets to go out and just do his own material?
There's two additional microphones.
That was key.
Yeah, I'd say the biggest difference is that usually it's kind of like the intro, or if we're doing a sketch, it's more kind of along the line of our chemistry that our characters have on the show, whereas our, which are characters that we're playing on the show, and then our stand-up is more, more, and I think, in our actual voices, as opposed to, you know, these characters that we play, these inflated parts of our ego that we play for the show or for our web series.
Yeah, the three-man thing is exaggerations. When we're on the mics one up by ourselves, it's very more who we are.
Okay. Which one do you all feel more comfortable with being? And go ahead and take turns.
This is Andrew. I think I feel comfortable with both. I've done comedy on my own plenty. I feel pretty comfortable with that. It's obviously more fun with Adam and Ben, because then you have your friends and you can play off each other, and it sort of feels different every time you're out there. It's always more fun if you can travel with your friends. Like in the world of stand-up can be pretty lonely, in that a lot of times you're just by yourself. You're sitting in some hotel room by a strip mall in the suburbs for a week. There's nothing to do. But anytime you can be with your friends, that improves that greatly.
Well, you must have better friends than I.
Yeah. I put friends in quotes. I just meant, you know, somebody to split the dinner tab with freeways.
Yeah, P.F. Chang's gets expensive every night. But yeah, no, I think I probably prefer, I don't know. I mean, it's just, now we've been doing them probably about the same amount of time. Well, a little bit less, but I would say probably stand up for me. I mean, I've been doing that for 11 years, and I think that voice being on stage is closer to my actual personality, if not who I really am. So I think it's much easier, obviously, to be yourself than to play a character. But I like doing both. I think it's fun, but I think stand-up's probably more my bread and butter.
Right.
I don't know about Adam.
Adam hates both.
Sorry, I was eating. No, I like both, honestly. I agree with Ben. It's just easier to do a single-man act, but it's a lot more fresh feeling with Ben and Andrew, because I never know which way it's going to go.
There's a lot of improv. So I really enjoy both. If I do one for too long, I miss the other. So I enjoy both.
All right. Well, then as a way to segue into the new show, Those Who Can't, which is, as if you know the saying, you can probably guess, is about teachers, that's completely character. You guys aren't yourselves in this at all. In fact, you go so far as to wear costumes and go and film on sets. I haven't seen it, but these are my guesses.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for sure. I think when we created these characters originally for our web series, they were kind of their very exaggerated cartoon versions of our worst traits. You know, so for instance, this has been my character, Shoemaker, is, you know, he's kind of a Pandora's box of emotion. You know, he's always very volatile, whether it's, you know, sad or happy or whatnot, you know, or angry a lot of the time. So he plays a very aggressive version. I'm not that, but definitely tend to be the most emotional of the three of us, I think.
My characters are all based off ourselves. I mean, this is Adam. My character I describe as a pretentious bro, and I have both qualities that I suppress very well in real life because that would be an asshole person. But on the TV show, it's fun to let them emerge.
You feel safer doing it there, and you promise you don't
feel
it in real life.
Yeah, because it's just like it's a fake world, you know, so it's kind of like a fake version of yourself, so we just kind of allow ourselves to indulge in our worst qualities.
All right. How low are you willing to let these characters go, then?
I don't think there's any depth that we won't mind. We let them go pretty low.
That's exactly what we wanted to hear.
As long as it's the character. Yeah.
All right. Well, see, I'm interested in the whole arc, because I think this is, in the new model of distribution and all, this is kind of the way you can go. It's like Broken Lizard back in the good old days, you know, was kind of like that comedy troupe that people liken them back to Monty Python, it just seemed to be like one a generation would come out and turn from performance to television, even hit up to movies. And is that where you're headed next? Are you going to get on network and then start making blockbusters?
This is Andrew. Yeah, that'd be great. We'd love to make a movie.
I wasn't off.
Just like to work on... What's that?
Yeah, we're ready. Take us with you.
We would love to. We're all huge fans of movies, and yeah, we'd love to work on a movie. Actually, before True picked up the show, we were sort of cooking up an idea of Those Who Can't as a feature film, and then True came along and bought it as the series. But that was one direction we had been thinking about taking it before that happened.
You can tell me honestly.
People like,
was that disappointing?
Comedy groups, because they have built-in chemistry. And so instead of casting a bunch of people and hoping that they mesh, when you're dealing with a comedy group, it's creators. It's proven that they mesh because they've been suffering each other for 9 years. So I think it's built in.
Yeah. You guys have already had the foreplay.
Exactly.
Now it's down to the business.
So what kind of schedule does that leave you with then, if you're now writing for a TV show, filming a TV show, on top of that writing your stand-up, writing your collaborative act, putting on stage shows? Do you guys go out and see movies anymore?
Andrew, writing is like a day job. We're in here 10 to 6 writing, and it does leave you pretty drained. You have decision fatigue by the end of the day. I think all of our stand-up has suffered a little bit for it in terms of churning out new stuff, because all of our energy goes to the show. But and then once we start shooting, then it's a nightmare schedule where it's every day is kind of a different time, and a lot of times you're there for 12 hours, and the last thing you want to do when you get home is go out and do a stand-up show. You're pretty beat. So, but we all have managed to maintain our stand-up careers. We all still do shows. It definitely takes more of an effort than it does when you're not working on the show, when you can just concentrate on stand-up.
Well, let me
ask.
Yeah,
this is Ben.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. Oh, no, I was just going to say, I for sure, and I have, a wife and a son, and so also trying to fit family in there along with other interests, like music and things like that, like other things that we're all into individually. It's days are pretty packed, especially right now with the premiere coming out on February 11th, press and travel and stuff like that. It's not a whole lot of time for anything else. So,
well, let me ask just from the perspective for all the aspiring comedian, stage performer, television stars out there, which is the strongest leg on this table? What is paying you more? Who's putting the most butter on your bread? And so that they'll know to just concentrate on that.
This is Adam. TV pays more than anything, of course. But if we didn't have our stand-up backgrounds, I don't think we'd be doing as good as we're doing. It sort of prepares you. The other day, I was just like, oh, I guess this is what we were training for all those years and not really realizing it. So, yeah, of course, like TV and movies pay way more. The only way you make a lot of money in stand-up is if you become a big star selling out theaters. And the only way to really do that is to toil for 30, 40 years or get on a TV show or movie and jump to that level. So we all kind of hope this really pushes all of our stand-up to the next level, individually and as a group as well, where we can play theaters and not have to do the shitty rooms you don't want to do. And it's I think one complements the other.
So you're saying there's no way out, there's no shortcut.
There's no shortcut.
Everybody, remember, True TV. We're going to keep our eye out for those who can't. You'll know it because they'll be wearing costumes and being on set.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
Honor, integrity, courage under fire. This is all stuff you kids are going to learn today.
All right, game on.
To teach is to inspire.
You're kind of a leader around here, so why don't we try being a leader to our peers, okay? Now, I want you to apologize to this nerd.
To enlighten.
So who wants a virgin, barely alcoholic margarita? Who's in? Everybody? Yes, that's what I'm talking about, guys. We're having fun, and we're learning.
To challenge.
I'm going to separate the strong from the weak.
Introducing those who can.
We could all try being a little more mature this year.
A new comedy from True TV. New series Thursday, February 11th.
You are one of the most gifted teachers I've ever seen in my entire life.
There's no way that's true.
And there it is. That was Adam Caton Holland, Ben Roy, Andrew Overdahl, talking about those who can't. Well, actually talking about their comedy collective, Grolix.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I don't think it made it into the interview, but for those curious, a Grolix, spelled G-R-A-W-L-I-X, is the name of those like weird punctuations and dollar signs and asterisks that they use in comics when they curse.
Q-Bert?
Well, Q-Bert's an example, but yeah, like anytime anyone in a comic book curses,
yeah.
And they have to put one of those
it's
in.
Called Garlix?
Grolix.
Grolix.
That's a real term. And
I didn't know that.
It's clever as hell, if you ask me.
Learn
even if
day.
None of us know that.
That's
but anyway,
great.
They helped us learn that. So thanks again to those guys. And that show, by the way, is coming out to you and the general public February 11th on True TV.
Mm-hmm.
So you look that up for your local cable provider, and they will escort you directly to the front door of that show on February 11th.
Mm-hmm. It's
and
good. It's good.
If that doesn't entertain you for at least, say, another week or so, on February 19th, you can catch Chantel Riley in, what's that movie called?
Race.
I'm glad you said it like that, because, I don't know, it just
there's some,
sounded racial.
There are some undertones. I mean, this is the Jesse
is
Owens story.
Jesse Owens versus Hitler.
Yeah. It might be the most preeminent sports event in the history of man is when Jesse Owens performs in the 1936
Olympic Games in Berlin.
In Berlin. In Berlin. At the height of Nazi power in Germany.
And I can't wait to see how he does in that race. Anyway, we'll all find out February 19th in a theater near you. And I promise it's a big movie. It's going to be in a theater near you. Let's see, Marky. You got anything else in your magic pocket?
That's enough of this.
Yeah, you're right. That's enough of this, Al.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Ah, this is enough of this.